BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
You're listening to A Point of View, a personal essay from a leading writer. Here's Tom Shakespeare.
The last time I went to see my daughter in Newcastle, I told her I'd been unable to show my partner the Angel of the North statue from the train because the refreshment trolley had come past at exactly the wrong moment. "Can you actually see the Angel of the North from the train?" she asked. "Of course you can," I replied confidently. "After all, I'd made that journey hundreds of times before." "I'll just check," she said, searching on her phone. I was indignant that she refused to believe me and said so. "I've heard you tell your stories before," she explained. "Stories I've been in and which didn't happen quite like you tell them." "You tell great stories," she said, "but they're not necessarily true." "Great stories, but not necessarily true. I think we're familiar with those. Much award-winning film and TV is based on just this. Great life stories which are not necessarily true. That wouldn't matter so much if they're not rewriting history for the sake of entertainment. And if we didn't live in a post-truth world when getting the facts right matters more than ever. You may remember the multi-Oscar-winning 1984 film Amadeus, which tells the story of Mozart and the jealous Salieri. In both the film and the original play, and in the rumours, Salieri poisoned Mozart. Born in Italy, Salieri wrote operas in three languages, was beloved by the Emperor of Austria, and taught Beethoven, Schubert and Liszt, among other composers. He is very unlikely to have poisoned Mozart, but that would make for a much weaker plot. Every story needs a villain. Or you may have seen the film Braveheart, in which William Wallace, played by Mel Gibson, heroically fights against the English. Gibson gets his defence in first by having Wallace proclaim, "Historians from England will say I'm a liar, but history is written by those who have hanged heroes." Well, it may be a great epic, but almost everything else is made up, as one critic said. The events aren't accurate, the dates aren't accurate, the characters aren't accurate, the names aren't accurate, the clothes aren't accurate. In short, just about nothing is accurate. Yet it seems to have been stirring enough to energise the modern independence movement in Scotland. There may not have been Scots nationalism as we know it back then, but there certainly is now. That said, we do need to understand history and its characters from different perspectives, to be aware not just of fact and fiction, but of different points of view. But films can deeply influence our thinking on what we think happened, so we ought to be aware of what it is we're watching. Maybe you have a positive attitude about P.T. Barnum based on The Greatest Showman. Yet he was a fraud who exploited African Americans, indigenous people, disabled people, and was cruel to animals. Which is why I'm outraged when I hear parents of disabled children singing songs from the musical. That wonderful writer, Hilary Mantel, managed to rehabilitate Thomas Cromwell, Henry VIII's bureaucrat-in-chief, who dissolved an inconvenient marriage and many conveniently rich monasteries. Cromwell finally fell out with his boss as a result of the disastrous marriage of Henry VIII to Anne of Cleves, whom Henry apparently found repulsive. Hilary Mantel turned all this into a magnificent story. Along the way, Thomas More doesn't come out so well, having himself been made saintly in the film A Man for All Seasons. But will posterity remember Thomas Cromwell as Sir Mark Rylance's thoughtful reformer, or as the man whom Holbein painted as a thuggish politician? Which was the true Thomas Cromwell? I'm not sure we can know whether Mantel or Holbein is more accurate, because after nearly five centuries, we have limited evidence on which to make a decision. When it comes to Richard III, we are mostly familiar with Shakespeare's Tudor propaganda. After all, he was writing of Elizabeth I, the granddaughter of the man who had defeated Richard III at Bosworth Field. Was Richard really as nasty as Shakespeare made out? Although he did have scoliosis, it was hardly noticeable, and his contemporary reputation was not as the epitome of evil. In the era of fake news, I must make my own admission of guilt. I met the man who taught me early modern history recently, and for the first time in 40 years, I remembered my school history essays about the period. For fun, and I think for no other reason, I used to put my own words into the mouths of Tyndale or Cranmer. As disguise, I would attribute the made-up quotes to real people and be vague about the origins of the true quotations. I know all about fake history, but my scribblings were of no lasting consequence, and some inaccuracies are merely irritating. For example, I don't think it matters whether Bob Dylan was booed at the Fairport Folk Festival or Manchester's Free Trade Hall. It's a minor inaccuracy. In the new biopic, A Complete Unknown, Dylan comes out as a not very pleasant character who is exploitative of women, a shape-shifting troubadour who prefers to become an electrified rock singer rather than playing along with the acoustic virtues of folk, which seems to be broadly right. But we live in an era where people think that the moon landing was faked, and unpasteurized milk is better for you, and that, to quote the current US Health Secretary RFK Jr., there is no vaccine that is safe and effective. Though in his own active historical revisionism, he now denies ever making such a statement. Worst of all, it was Holocaust Memorial Day recently, and some people still think those atrocities did not happen either. We know they're wrong because there's an undeniable amount of historical and scientific evidence about those things. The truth about the past can be vitally important, which is why folk get so head up about the details, and they can have deeply significant consequences. This week, we've seen the rewriting of history in real time, with President Trump's suggestion that Ukraine was responsible for starting the war which President Putin instigated. President Zelensky responded by saying Mr. Trump was in the Russian disinformation space. What this diplomatic gaslighting will mean for the ongoing talks to end the war is still to be determined, but it surely doesn't bode well when you're willing to reject the basic facts. Of course, there are plenty of people around the world who, without evidence, agree with Mr. Trump's version of events. Films, books, and social media, like the pamphlets and songs of the past, provide much of our view of history, and this influences our politics. We turn to stories when the reality we desire fails us. We can imagine a better world than actually exists. The West Wing's President Bartlet was so much more noble than President Clinton, after all. But these are the realms of make-believe. Maybe it's better to tell the truth through a made-up story than to tell history, which is nothing of the kind. Einstein is claimed to have said, "If you want your children to be intelligent, read them fairy tales. If you want them to be more intelligent, read them more fairy tales." Admittedly, he may never have said that, although he may have said something like it. The saying itself has become folklore. It encourages me not to give up trying to change the ways in which people think, although I want to be subtle about it. If they're not going to listen to a lecture, you might try another way to get them to accept how things are. In The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, a great Western by John Ford, everyone thinks that the up-and-coming politician, Rance Stoddard, played by James Stewart, shot the violent bully, Liberty Valance. But in fact, spoiler alert, he is shot by Tom Doniphan, the John Wayne character, a poor but noble rancher. Attending Doniphan's funeral, Rance attempts to explain to a local journalist why Tom Doniphan was so important to him that he came back from Washington to pay his respects. But the newspaper editor refuses to tell the story of the real man who shot Liberty Valance. As he says to Rance, "When the legend becomes fact, print the legend." But if the legend is not based in fact, then history is in deep trouble. And so are we all.
I'm Nicola Coughlin, and for BBC Radio 4, this is History's Youngest Heroes. Rebellion, risk, and the radical power of youth.
She thought, right, I'll just do it. She thought about others rather than herself.
12 stories of extraordinary young people from across history.
There's a real sense of urgency in them, that resistance has to be mounted, it has to be mounted now.
Subscribe to History's Youngest Heroes on BBC Sounds.